It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, so I have this question, and I almost just texted it to you the other day, but you were just busy talking about international whores. So
that was today, actually.
Maybe it was today I had this idea. I don't tag and date my ideas. So now it may be tricky because this is generally known in the world, but you might not know. So a while back during the expert pet owner TV phase, we all learned that apparently the way to tell a cat I love you is to blink very slowly at them. And that if they do that back, it means they love you too.
Okay.
Which is actually, it's actually just a thing of trusting you well enough to close your eyes slowly around them. It's a sign of trust and comfort. We don't know if cats understand love, whatever. But the point is, everybody learned this one very easy way to tell a cat something positive, and now everybody, anytime they see a cat, does the slow blink. That's just a thing. I had this idea in part because recently my sister-in-law was doing it to a dog and suddenly remembered it's a dog. They don't have that. And so she was embarrassed. So my question does not involve the accuracy of any of that. We're going to take it as read that that is accurate, just for fun.
Why not?
So now everyone's doing it to most cats all the time.
Okay.
Imagine, I mean, if somebody says, I love you, it's usually a big deal outside of certain contexts. But imagine everybody you met all the time saying I love you, including strangers. At a certain point, the word would have lost all meaning to you. So my question is, do cats get there? Are there cats out there who receive enough of this very particular attention that if you slow blink at them now, the cat's like, yeah, fucking everyone says that. You know, deeds before blinks, buddy. Like, you can blink the blink, but can you walk the walk? Because everybody tells me slow blink. And not everybody can possibly slow blink me. So prove it. Do you think cats have this type of world weariness because of an overabundance of slow blinks? Are they getting jaded inside?
And nobody ever puts a ring on it, so.
Exactly.
All of that.
Every time you think they're going to, they're just holding your paw to trim your nails, which you hate.
Yeah, it seems like a trick. It's hard to be a cat, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The thumbs are huge.
Yeah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Magical Talking Hat Podcast. I haven't really considered the ramifications of that audially for, like, people listening. Does it hurt? I'm sorry. Anyway, the only podcast in the world that is really enjoying the wind beneath its wings, because that's all of you listeners. Did you ever know that you're our hero? You're everything. Am I just destined to not really understand the lyrics of any Bette Midler song?
I don't know.
Between Wind Beneath My Wings and From a Distance.
Yeah, I mean, From a Distance, they all look like
we've
friends.
Discussed. No, yes, we've discussed From a Distance. You could almost say, like, wanted enemy of the show from a distance. You know, people say friend of the show. Like, this is enemy of the show, but Midler's From a Distance. Hope you're doing well out there. Someday we're going to get you. Anyway, Tony, I'm Tony.
And I'm William. This is episode 585. I listened to some old episodes.
Yes, recently. You were mentioning.
And like, it was a regular thing for me not to know what episode it was. I don't know when we finally got into the mode where I always knew. Or I was,
I'll tell you what, when. It was when you got three monitors.
No, I mean, like, this was like episodes 44, 45, 46. I mean, it was, you know, it's almost a year. I didn't know what episode it was. Like, when did we finally establish
we're still dealing with that in the 400s.
All right.
So
I get it. But still.
Also, don't let anybody fool you. Now he's evolved to this or whatever. I will admit it didn't happen today that I could catch, but normally before I hit record, I'm like, you ready? And he panics for like 2 seconds and then checks the episode number.
Right over there.
And I don't have to remember it anymore. I believe gotten it wrong once since then. But
I have gotten it wrong once.
Yeah. So that's, we've evolved as podcasters, but not that much. For those of you just joining us, hope you had a cat. We have a hat. We don't slow blink at it. I mean, William's trying right now for some reason, but we have a hat. It is magical. How is it magical? It has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Let that sink in for a minute because I'm going to have a drink. All right. Sometimes people who listen don't know why, but not always people who listen, weirdly. Right into that email address with whatever the crap they feel like. And the hat, all on its own, magically forwards those emails to William and I. And then we read them on the air, talk about them till we're bored, or don't do that for an hour. So that's it. Welcome, won't you? So, William, you wanted to say something about International Horse?
I mean,
today,
not really.
Specifically?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is something I didn't even know about, but I have.
A friend told him.
No, I monitor certain news outlets that care about, you know, the rights of sex workers and that kind of thing.
Mm.
And so, you know, apparently today commemorates a time in France, I guess, where there was a sex worker strike or whatever. But it's interesting. I mean, I'm actually grateful for this information that I get from this source, because, you know, a lot of people don't realize what kinds of issues that sex workers have to deal with. I mean, people who otherwise care about labor issues and they care about what's going on with the workers at Amazon and stuff, rightly so, I think. But you know, there's a whole class of workers that deal with all kinds of terrible things. Nobody really knows about it. Doesn't really make the regular news, you know, because nobody thinks anyone's going to care about sex workers.
Well, and that's the big motto is sex work is real work, and it should be protected just the same way. Yeah. And this is a huge issue, and this clearly backfired on me because I didn't go to the link. I just read the link. And so I was really assuming there's just some site you visit that tells you like what weird holiday it is. And this one was International Whores Day. And so I just thought it'd be funny. William Sink tells him when it's really problematically named holidays. But then it turns out it's intentionally named holiday with a backstory and about protecting sex workers. So now you look awesome. And I just look like
I sent it to you for two reasons. One, because I do sort of find that the fact that they named it what they named it is a little bit funny. But also, I thought you would be interested in the backstory because you're interested in
I'm sure I would be, and I'm going to look at it later now that I know. But at the time, I was like, yeah, this is a silly one. Let's see if we can dunk on William via his link choice. And normally that's not something I do. I mean, you got insane at the idea of a Warner Brothers themed Super Smash Brothers. And I didn't bring that up. I didn't speak to you about it either, because I'm like, for our friendship, let's pretend this didn't happen. But now if we're just spilling it all out here, William is super psyched for Batman to beat up Scooby-Doo. He's just here for it.
No, there were two things that were cool. There were lots of things that were cool, but there were two specific things I was thinking of when I sent it to you was, one, because Warner Brothers owns Cartoon Network, Steven Universe characters are going to be in.
Yeah.
That was cool, but also...
And Adventure Time's in there.
Yeah, at the end, Superman is, you know, thinks, well, maybe I should get, you know, into this. This looks like a job for it. And then Iron Giant comes down and says, Superman. It's like, oh, that's so cool. Dude. Iron Giant gets to meet his hero, Superman. So I thought that was neat.
And but, and William is very excited to beat the crap out of all those beloved characters.
I don't really like fight games, so I probably won't. But I just thought it was a fun.
Iron Giant picked up Dexter from Dexter's Lab, threw him at Huckleberry Hound.
Yeah, that's not my kind of thing.
Who immediately incinerated him because Huckleberry Hound famously has fire powers. It's canonical.
Yeah, I mean, Warner Brothers owns Hanna-Barbera too, so any Hanna-Barbera property should be fair game. But I don't really like fight games.
It ends with the Looney Tunes, specifically in their Space Jam outfit, driving away in a car with Snagglepuss's head as the hood ornament. There's like blood driven down. It was a really disturbing commercial. But William was into it.
None of that stuff happened. But Shaggy had this moment where his eyes, they call that something, right? When a character, like their eyes start to glow and they have some huge power. They call that a thing now.
Colloquially, they call it going Super Saiyan. It's a thing
from
Dragon Ball.
That's right. Shaggy did that.
Yeah, he did, actually. It was kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
And Batman was there.
Anyway, I thought it was pretty
cool. So how's your week been?
School. I mean, it's getting toward the end. So, you know, you get, you know, they try to assign like large projects that, you know, sort of demand your cumulative knowledge of what you've been doing for the last 9 weeks. So it can be pretty busy. But
I never want anybody to test my cumulative knowledge of the last 9 weeks.
But I mean,
any given week,
it's fine. It's stressful, and it's sometimes discouraging because you'll have a day where you won't get very much done. But I've been at this for a year, and it always seems to work out in the end. So I try not to get too.
You've been working hard. I can't. I cannot imagine it not, because to the level you are working, like. I'm sure there are such things as this person is on some level not capable of getting this concept. Like, your education has gone as far as it can go. But you, in pretty much any master's program, I'm like, if you try real hard, you're going to get there. I do not think online master's program is the limits of your intelligence. I'll put it that way. Just a matter of time and effort.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've actually been very encouraged over the last year by, you know, interactions I've had with other people in the profession, you know, and I talked to them about, well, this is what we're doing. These are the textbooks we're reading. These are the types of assignments we have. And, you know, their feedback is always, yes. Same as if it was, you know, an offline, in an actual school and not just online. because I think a lot of people have some prejudices about online learning, or and maybe there's the school that I'm attending in particular, but it turns out, you know, it's actually, it's a very good program, and I'm learning a lot in it. And, you know, I feel pretty good about the program and what I've achieved in it. It's kind of nice. And also getting to meet everybody a few weeks ago in Phoenix was really nice. And that was a positive experience overall. So,
yeah, I mean, accreditation is a very big deal. If you're going to a school that's not accredited, there are questions you should ask. Right. But outside of that, in general, the more expensive and the more features or whatever is largely about opportunity. It's still going to come down to the student. And will one student potentially have opportunities to work with like higher people in the field if they're connected through whatever college they went to? Yes, possibly. Is one student going to graduate from one college and an identical student from another one and mean that one of them's smarter about it? I don't think so.
No. Well, and also you, just like with undergraduate school, it's kind of what you make of it, right? I mean, if there's anything about your program that you think is lacking, well, then you could just do something to make up for it. You know, you don't have to just let that hold you back. Just read an extra book or something.
I went to one of the most expensive colleges in the nation. So mom, if you're listening, this is all just for a bit. I absolutely think you get what you pay for. And as we can see, I'm using it to its fullest.
Well, it is
brand genuine KitchenAid mixer back there, brand name. If I ever find the bowl to go with it, make some pavlovas.
There is a thing, of course, in education, primary, secondary, and college education, where money does seem to be a factor, because there's a lot of situations where a person, well, think of it in terms of assessments. I'm studying assessments this quarter, and this is a good way to think of it. So a person can take, an aptitude assessment tells you what you're capable of doing. An achievement assessment tells you what you've learned from being instructed over a period of time, right? Mm-hmm. And what can happen is a person from a low socioeconomic background can have a high IQ assessment, can have a high aptitude assessment, but they're going to have a low achievement assessment because, say, their school didn't offer calculus.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't offer it, couldn't afford to offer calculus. It's not that the person isn't smart enough to learn and understand calculus. They've just never had the opportunity to learn it because of the background that they're from. Meanwhile, someone who has the exact same IQ and the exact same aptitude, their achievement is higher because they went to a richer school that did offer calculus. So they get into a school that the other person didn't get into for no other reason, not because of IQ, not because of aptitude.
No, because of opportunity.
Yeah, no other reason except this person went to a poor school and this person went to a rich school, but they both went to public school, which that's not supposed to happen. That's the whole point of public schools. That's not supposed to happen, but it does, unfortunately. And that's the thing that happens in the United States when it's not supposed to, but sure does. I've seen it happen to people. I have seen it happen. I've seen people who got into, actually, I've seen people who got into high prestige schools, and they got in based on IQ and aptitude. Achievement didn't have anything to do with it. So they were able to get in, but they couldn't stay in it. They had to leave and go to a different school because they were actually not properly prepared for that prestige school. But of course, all the richer kids were, so they stayed in that school. So sometimes a kid will even get into a prestige school based on other types of test results. But again, because they weren't afforded those opportunities, they can't finish. That happens too. And that's unfortunate. But
it sounds, he makes it sound very off the cuff, but most of this is from a late 90s screenplay that William put together about a young, active, affluent white man becomes a teacher in a small inner city school district and just sort of touches lives. I don't remember what it was called, right, but it was this exact thing. You should hear him do some of the soliloquies.
Has been an issue for me ever since I was in high school and I first realized that this was a thing. I didn't know until I was, I don't know, maybe a junior or senior. No, I wasn't a senior, probably a junior. And I realized, oh, this is a problem. And of course, ever since then, I've only that knowledge has only deepened because I've seen it actually happen to people in college, and I've watched it happen to other people, and I've read studies, and I've seen things in the news. It's been a problem for as long as I can remember, and I don't know if it's ever going to get fixed because it's just the way the system works.
Ladies and gentlemen, the slowest superhero origin story you've ever heard. He's slowly becoming radicalized over 50 some years. And eventually he's going to build some strange contraption, non-lethal, and then just protect the streets from income inequality based educational divides. I wish I had a good name for this character. It needs something. It was going to be the Equalizer, but we cannot get the rights to that. That is an existing property, but it seemed, you know, fair. It seemed like a good, the Equitizer, the Equitizer. Oh my God. Cause it's not about equality. It's about equity.
I mean, I guess.
Go out most of the day. He doesn't jump from rooftop to rooftop. Still in full costume. He mostly just makes appointments with varying middle management school district employees, and like wants to see the data of the various schools and how the funding balances out and what is available at each school. And then he kicks some ass.
I don't know how that would work.
Again, a lot of it is bookkeeping. A lot of it is trying to sell them on a larger, more comprehensive budget. Ideally, third party evaluation. That his sidekick is just he's a young teen boy that he adopted, whose superhero name is Third Party Evaluation. His actual name, secret identity. The Equitizer. Oh, fuck getting a Hero Forge picture from Azure Talent. This has Tony and William make a short film written all over it. The problem is there's no way to make this film without an unbelievably boring second act.
I mean, you're right about that.
The second act is essentially just a documentary.
Yeah, we'd have to really workshop that.
The lack of equity in schools based on socioeconomic class.
No.
All right. Well, we're going to go do that. So we're out of here. Nope. I have to make a correction on the podcast. See, we here at the Magical Talking Hat like to have fun, mostly at William's expense. But sometimes in our quest to just have a good time, hang out together, we don't realize that we are slowly and methodically eradicating Black history and Black culture every week, like a couple of white dudes. So recently I referred to a piece that my niece did in jazz choir that I referred to as David Bowie's Nature Boy. Nature Boy is a great little song, and I have heard many, 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 many versions of it. I was, for reasons that I now realize I cannot defend, under the impression that David Bowie wrote it sometime in the late 60s. I was told by a friend and listener off camera that I was full of shit. And that song has been a jazz standard for quite a long time. And I eventually did look it up, and it's so much worse than that. It is a jazz standard because it was first released in the 40s by a little gentleman y'all may have heard of, named Nat King Cole. Not only did David Bowie not originate this song, in the 60s. Sung was over 20 years old by that point, or about 20 years old. Also, David Bowie didn't do a version of it in the 60s. The only version David Bowie ever did was on the soundtrack to Moulin Rouge in the very late 90s. The very version that I first heard when I heard that song, and for some reason that I still don't understand, was under the belief that that song was just a cover of his own song from 30 some odd years ago that never existed and was in fact a cover of a song Nat King Cole released in the goddamn 40s. I am white supremacist culture, and I need to apologize for that.
I don't know
where I got that idea.
I didn't know what the song was, so I looked it up.
Convenient. William kept his hands clean again. Yeah, he's just in the background behind.
I looked it up and did recognize the song, not as a David Bowie song. The first time I ever heard the song was in a video game.
Oh, really?
And I think it was the Nat King Cole version. But
Nat King Cole teaches you to type.
No.
What was the game?
It was an adventure video game, and it was, I don't remember what it was called, but
at this point you really sound like you're lying.
No,
I don't. I'm waiting for you to say that's the ticket.
The devil was in it, though. The devil was in it. It was some Faustian thing.
Sir, we have your statement. Please sober up and don't leave town. We'll be in touch.
But I didn't dig into it or get back to you and say, oh, hey, this wasn't a David Bowie song. I just ignored it. I just, oh, okay. I know that song. That's that song that I heard in that video game once.
I've heard that devil in it. I start to think of that song as similar to Tears for Fears' Mad World. And I do know that's actually them. But ever since then, everyone and their dog has to create a weird, like, angsty, what do you call it? Unplugged version, acoustic version of that song. Everybody's done some breathy cover of Mad World, and they're starting to do that with Nature Boy because they're both like mildly creepy sounding, and yet they have nostalgia to them. But yeah, for some reason I thought it was Bowie. Don't know why I thought it was Bowie. It was never Bowie. Stop being Bowie. I'm ashamed.
Okay.
We finished Our Flag Means Death.
Oh, how'd you like it?
Very much. It doesn't end, is clearly setting up for a second season or whatever, but for the first time in a long time, like, I'm happy about that. I'm like, you know, we're not resolving anything, but I think it's been popular, so I think it'll come back, and I want it to, so that's good. But I really, really enjoyed it. I thought it was very clever. I thought it was very heartwarming. I thought it was hilarious. Novel, which we all know is a very big thing for me right now. But it seemed to... I mean, it's very Taika Waititi. I honestly don't deal with a lot of gay male-leaning storylines in my media. I'm sure there are plenty. I don't come across them too often, and it was really fun to have this on paper. Could have been pretty standard, but they had some really great people in it, including Hodor from Game of Thrones, which is important, and a gentleman who I always know as a character named Spud from Trainspotting. That's how I always think of him, but he shows up fucking everywhere, including in World War One in Wonder Woman. Remember, she's got those three guys that joined them. their version of Howling Commandos. The very, very Scottish one, because he always plays somebody very, very Scottish, who I think dies, maybe, I don't know. He's in it, playing a very, very Scottish guy who may or may not talk to seagulls. But I really like him. And yeah, I'm discovering a lot of people. I thought it was really good. Did you all like it?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It's really good.
I was very pleased. And yeah, I'll be pleased to see where it goes.
Yep.
Really appreciating Taika Waititi as an actor more than I used to. He's good.
Yep. Agreed.
Did we start something new? Oh, we did the first two episodes of Moon Knight.
Hmm.
Trish may already be out. And there's only six episodes. You've been watching Moon Knight? You watched Moon Knight?
I don't think we will. In fact, we went ahead and watched the bitch meeting for it.
Oh.
Thought, oh, that's interesting. But
I came into this knowing very little about Moon Knight. And I've apparently that's good. Like, most of the complaints I hear about the show are from people who have strong feelings about Moon Knight already. But so the first episode is just nothing. Like, it's just questions. It's like, what is going on? I don't know what's going on. Super weird. Anyway, see you next time. Like, not a good hook. It's just everything's weird. The second episode explains things somewhat, but it's still very confusing. Here's what I said as soon as we finished watching the second episode. You know how Eternals came out and everybody with a lick of sense said this would have been so much better as just a limited run series on Disney Plus instead of a movie?
Sure.
Two episodes in, I'm fairly convinced Moon Knight would have been so much better as just a standard MCU movie and not a series, because thanks to the pacing of such things, there are certain exposition blocks you kind of need. And even if they explain it at the end, I'm not having fun now because I don't know what's going on. So I think it would be a lot cleaner if they just gave us a little more hint as to what the fuck is happening. We're getting a sense of it now a little, but here's the problem. Oscar Isaac, one of the best actors working nowadays. And one of the roles he plays in this is very unlike anything I've ever seen him play before. And I can just watch the man for 6 hours, easy. So probably going to finish it.
He's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's good. It reminds me a little bit of The Blacklist. I'm like, it's not a lot going on for the show right now, but Oscar Isaac with a mousy British accent could carry me through. It could be my James Spader in a hat. All right. I had one thing happen I probably should have mentioned. I left town for like 3 days.
You did?
Yeah, yep.
Huh. Where'd you go?
Yeah. You'd think this would have come up first. We went to see the in-laws. It's a traditional thing, Labor Day or Memorial Day, whichever one this is. This one was Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. Memorial Day weekend. The first bookend of the summer. We go visit them. And also, because Trish's birthday is on the 31st, and her sister's is exactly a week before. So often Labor Day weekend, whenever it is when they sort of celebrate both birthdays. So we went and did that, and then we came home on Monday, and then Trish took Tuesday off because it was her birthday, and she didn't want to go to work. So I've had Trish home for a while, but yeah, we went and visited the in-laws, and that was pretty fun. We had a cookout. It was a very small cookout, just sort of family, because other people had COVID. Hang out, ate some good food. Got to see all the little people. They're short, so I think that's it. Let's do a question.
Okay.
I'll handle this one.
Looks like a job for
the Equitizer. All right. This is from Azure Talon. It's called The Wedge, and I feel like we discussed it. What are your feelings on pizza from The Wedge? The window in the BP is becoming one of my favorite lunch spots when I'm working up that way. Their vegetarian pizza, the Nutcracker, is delicious and strange, with cashews and peanuts on pesto sauce. Everything I've had has been delicious and affordable. Well, first of all, Azure Talon, you liar. We have discussed the Nutcracker on here, and it does not have cashews or peanuts. It has pistachios. So either stop lying or get to know your nuts, bruh. It is lovely. Pizza, though, add pepperoni to it, is amazing. You always used to get the same thing you said from there.
The Vegetable Garden.
The Vegetable Garden.
Yep.
Which just sounds like the guy who played Chekhov in Star Trek 4. We are looking for vegetables.
I had one of those just last week, as a matter of fact.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, there was my. Like a long period of time where we didn't order from The Wedge for probably years, and
then we talked about it on the podcast.
And the last time we did, actually, I think the place was in a different location over there in Iowa City, kind of really close to the Dairy Queen over there or whatever. But now it's closer to the Eagles Lodge or whatever. But real good.
We're not allowed to add to this. I mean,
no, I mean, a wedge book, the wedge.
My massage therapist's boyfriend works there.
Oh, really?
So that's nice, I guess. He hardly ever spits in the pizza, I hear.
Oh, well, that's good.
He never spits in the pizza. Yeah, we like it.
You can see right in.
The crust is unusual, but I like it.
When you go to pick something up, there's windows all around the kitchen, so you can really see everything they're doing in the ovens and all the prep work they're doing. It's a really, really smooth operation they got over there.
They do quite a brisk business.
I mean, they always have, as far as I know.
Yeah, yeah. But they used to have, at one point, they had like three locations.
Yeah, they had more locations, yeah.
And I think some of that was COVID, but I think some of that was before COVID.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
But what's left is going great, so.
Yeah.
Thanks for your question. All right, you pick one. Do the next one.
The next one is also from Azure Talon, but it's not about the wedge. No, he already asked that question. This one is about Pancheros.
Pancheros?
Yeah. He says, I got
it. I developed this thing. I got this thing from Nick Kroll and John Mulaney's Oh Hello bits that they do. And one of the things they do in that is Nick Kroll's character frequently makes a word sound weird by pronouncing the wrong syllable. And I've started doing that. And the place I most do that is I love to do it with Pancheros, and I call it Pancheros.
Hmm.
Sure. I don't know why. I think that's funnier.
It's the Iowa pronunciation. Anyway. I got a free burrito reward from Pancheros last night.
Ugh.
With a freebie.
Bad when you do it.
It does?
It does. It sounds mean. Vindictive.
Rewind. I take it back. With a freebie, you still pay for extras. Queso, guacamole, extra meat. If I get a freebie with every available ingredient, It'll be $12. How much do you think they'll hate me if I order that? What? How much do you think they'll hate him? Why would they hate him? Wouldn't they be glad that he was getting all the extra stuff and paying some money instead of getting it for free?
Oh, sweet summer child. The presumption here, and in any food service job, is they don't give a shit about your experience. They just want to get through the goddamn day because they're getting paid like hell to be on their feet constantly, have to deal with customers. And there is a way you can do this that will really piss them off.
Okay.
But I think there's a way you can do this that they might really like. So I'm not going to tell Azertown which one, and I'm going to hope he picks the wrong one. Now, let me explain. So nobody's going to worry about the money on this one, because $12 for all the extras is, it's worth less than that. In general, with the extras, I think Poncheros prices them just a hair's breadth above what they're actually worth. So you have to really want it, in my opinion, which I think is a fair way to do it, because you don't want to encourage everybody to do it unless those extras are your moneymaker, because it just slows down the process. But if you go through and you're like, I got a free thing, and they're like, okay, and then you're doing it and you're like, oh, and I want that also, and they have to be like, that's gonna cost you extra. You're like, okay. Then you go and you're like, they're gonna hate that. I hate that, just telling the story of that happening. Like, I was starting to annoy me. That, don't do that. They will hate you for that. And if you blink slowly at them to tell them you love them, in that blink, they're gonna spit in your food. So don't do it that way. And if you do it that way, blink fast. Very fast. You don't want to miss it. However, if you go in there and say some version of this, hi, I'm a goddamn lunatic. I got a free burrito deal today, but I did the math at home using the Ponchero site to figure out if I got all the extras that cost money, this free burrito would be $12 and would look insane. It would roughly have to be the size and shape of a human head wrapped in tortilla. I understand this is going to be an expensive prank on me, but I want you on my team to get it done. What do you say? If you say that to them, they'll be like, fuck yeah. Do you know what I've been doing for the last 2 hours? The same shit I'm going to do for the next 2 hours. This is far and away the most interesting thing that has happened on my shift. Let's get this tortilla head made for you, sir.
Tortilla head.
Bob it all up. For those of you who don't live locally, the Bob is a specific tool invented by Poncheros that you use to, without touching anything, mix up the ingredients of the mission style burrito before you close it. It is a godsend. They named it Bob. They bob up your giant human head tortilla, and they bring it to you in a bag with hopefully cutlery, because this is not going to be a handheld operation. It's probably pulsing, and they're just going to giggle quietly and be like, that free burrito will cost you $12. And you'll be like, what am I doing? Right? Thank you. Put a little tip on there for you. And then you got your big old head, and you've made a great story for them for the day. So
seems like
you're willing to spend $12 to put a smile, maybe not even on the face of a Poncheros worker, but in the heart of a Poncheros worker, I say you do it.
This seems like a marketing opportunity. If this is true, if you could call the
media,
if you could show up and spend $12 to have a burrito the size of a human head, that should be a thing that they just offer, and they should put it in a box. In the on the outside of the box, it should say, "What's
in the box?" I mean, they're going to need to get the licensing rights, but I cannot imagine regional Fresh Mex place Poncheros not pairing perfectly with the famous Kevin Spacey joint Seven.
So
you really got your pulse on 2022.
$24 or $12 if you have a free deal.
If it's free, $12 free version.
You can get the box.
Exactly.
Burrito exactly. The size of a head.
Exactly. What's in the box? Well, guacamole, extra sour cream,
extra meat.
Yeah.
I'm a marketing genius, I think.
For those of you who aren't local, also, Poncheros, I probably should have started with this before describing Bob. Poncheros is, okay, there's two ways to look at it. You ever done Chipotle? Poncheros is a regional version of Chipotle, but they have a pizza dough press that they use to fresh press balls of dough into your tortillas, and it's awesome. And it's way better than Chipotle, and very seldom have I heard of anyone getting food poisoning. So that's nice. Or if for some reason you live under a rock and have never heard of Chipotle, imagine it's Subway, except instead they're making you a burrito. That's what Poncheros basically is. I did like that question, but it was awful short. All right, we're doing one more. That's it, because we're running out. We need more people. There are more questions from people, more emails. Write in themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Because this is, I think we've established, our weeks are not that interesting, so we need something to talk about. All right. This one. All right, that one's gone. Come on. Catch up, my little dumpling. All right, this one is from Craig, and it's not about any Iowa City-based food business. Oh, I don't like it. The subject of this one is politics. I think we can, parenthetically, should all agree that it is political system that the IS political system.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
The is political system is FUBAR, but is there anything about it you think it does well, Craig?
What does IS stand for?
I don't know.
I don't either.
I keep wanting it to be a typo, but the longer I look at it, I'm like, no, it's not is, it's IS. And it means something, and I don't know what that is.
I don't either.
Hold on. Getting too old for this shit.
I have no idea. IS political system. I don't know what it is. Sorry, Craig.
I mean, now it's going to be super funny if it's just a typo. All right, I'm doing full on IS political.
So he might have just meant the political system, system. Whatever.
Current political system. Yeah, because if you type in IS political system, you get all sorts of, is political system the same as government? Is political system important to our communities? Is political system the same with political economy? Is political system democratic? Is political system communism? Is government system? Is government system or federal? And for those grammar hounds out there, our political system. So,
is there anything it does well?
Well, about our current late stage capitalism, ostensibly democratic and a tiny bit socialist, just to pay lip service to the lefties' current bullshit we got going on. Is there anything good about it? I mean, oh, now I'm sad. This is not, I don't like this. I was gonna say, well, there's not really that. Well, you can always know. That's,
of course, there's nothing you can point to that it does perfectly, and that's of course one of the biggest issues. No. Is that you and got...
even William and I, from such diverse political spectrum bounds, until you look on the political spectrum as a circle and realize we're just right next to each other from the opposite ends. And both of us, I think, can agree a lot of the issues stem from the difficulties associated with operating on a scale the size of what it does. A lot of issues stem from the difficulties of trying to govern a very large and very diverse population.
Right. Here's what I think it mostly does. There's been some issues recently about it, and you always have people, some very famous people, who seem to be arguing against what I'm about to talk about. But for the most part, this particular feature remains the same, and the courts, it doesn't matter if a Democrat has appointed the person or a Republican, the courts seem to stand up for this principle. And that so far is, at least in the United States, free speech is pretty well protected. And also people generally have the idea, even though sometimes they don't like it, sometimes they speak out against it or whatever, that more speech is the solution to whatever the issue is. That you shouldn't compel speech, you shouldn't hold speech back. Mostly in our society, information is pretty readily available if you want it. There's not, like, you know, if you look in history, there's a lot of societies where very specific information is hoarded by a small group of people, like the church or the you know, the government or whatever. There's very little information.
I'm hoarding all sorts of information.
I mean, of course, there's information kept secret by the government and all that other stuff. But for the most part, there's very little information that you can't get access to if you want it. There's even information from the government that you can get in the United States that you can't get in a lot of other countries, and you haven't historically been able to get in other countries, including the United States, but now you can. So, I mean, I think in general, the free speech aspect of American society, even though it's often challenged and sometimes it falters, I think in general, we live in a place where, you know, Tony and I can come on here in the podcast and say whatever we want. There's very little we could say that would get us arrested or even canceled, even that whole canceling thing. Would you knock it off?
I'm trying to back you up here. I don't know how to make a majestically waving flag behind you during this.
I'm just trying to give credit where credit is due.
No, I think I agree.
I appreciate. And another thing is, it's usually seen as a problem, all of the debate about all the things that are being debated about right now. But I'm glad we live in a society and a culture where these things are being debated. Maybe it's being debated poorly. Maybe it's making a lot of people look bad, but at least it's being talked about. There are other countries, even today in the world, where you can't, or where people don't.
There are definite problems with free speech in this country. However, if you do it graded on a curve with the entire rest of the world
and history,
we come out pretty high. And throughout time,
mm-hmm.
we come out pretty. We're one of the best even if that bar is not nearly as high as we would like it to be.
Sure.
I think that is correct.
Or applied as equally as we would like. I mean, that's a huge one. But yeah. Again, this is something that we can say and we can talk about. And most people, even if they disagree with us, will at least understand the principle that we're talking about, how important it is. So, I mean, I think that part is good. I feel like if whatever happens in the future with government and businesses and whatever else happens, I think right now there's even a, my observation is that the powers that be are probably not going to commit themselves to too much of a restriction of free speech, because the main way that the powers that be exercise power now is through co-opting, right? Don't shut the person up. You just claim that you believe what they believe or whatever. You find a popular thing and you claim to buy into it yourself. Now that's bad. That's bad in so many ways, but the good side of it is nobody's really being stopped. Nobody's really being shut up or shut down. They're being co-opted, and that's not good, but it is better than being thrown in jail or something. And so I think even the bad aspect of our current culture, you know, has a sort of a positive spin on it, which is people are pretty much going to continue to be able to say what they want to say, even if the powers that be know how to co-opt that or take the wind out of those sails or whatever that the powers that be do.
William went on for some time. We had to cut the video for brevity. But if you'd like to see William continue to exercise his free speech for just a dollar a day, I will continue to co-opt William on this podcast. Don't leave him out in the cold where no one will listen to this. Pay me to do it, won't you? America.
America. It's not just America, though. I mean, I think
No. It gets tricky, the whole sort of Western political system and global political system. And
you're right.
No, and I think you are correct. I'm sad that you're correct, but I'm like, oh, yeah, no, it is better than most places. I don't remember what I watched the other day, but I watched something that made reference to the second most popular redheaded cartoon character in a wrestling mask who gets confused by things. And I forget what it was, but they did a clip real quick of the number one, which was Strong Bad. So I was happy about that.
Strong Bad has red hair, did you say?
No, red head.
Oh.
Because his head is red.
Oh, because it's a red. Okay.
Yeah. They were like the second most, and I'm like, that's extremely niche. What are they? And then they had Strong Bad. I was like, oh yeah. Don't know why I thought of that. Whenever I think of politics, I think of Strong Bad.
Yeah, why not?
I guess I like taxes. I mean, not so much the contributing to the betterment of federal government or that. I just like doing them. I just like the math and the giving money to elected officials. I love that it comes every year.
Federal just taxes, after my mom's birthday. Specifically federal taxes.
Specifically federal taxes.
Yeah.
Income tax. Specifically. Because right. I've heard it said it's illegal. But that was mostly by crazy people. And I don't care. If paying taxes is illegal, I don't want to be legal. I just love it that much.
Okay.
Seriously, if any of you can think of, you all are smarter than us. Well, not you all. Most of you are smarter than us. If you can think of something, and Craig, God damn it, you got to get in here and explain to it. You didn't come back and explain to us if your friend was a quantum leaper.
Oh, yeah.
Now you do need to come back in and tell us about the is political system. I'm curious as to your creed and want to know more if you have a pamphlet available. Join us in the is political system and are governments political. is governments. You know, that thing. Is political systems with political economy? No one knows. Except the equitizer knows. The equitizer knows just what you need and wants to make sure you get it. Now he sounds like a porn star. I'm sorry.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.